Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
I'm Pastor Fred Gillenwater here at Russell Road. We've been talking about the principles in Hebrews chapter 6. And we've been looking at that. And it's so important that they are our foundation. And the word foundation means set in stone. So that's what we put the Word of God in these children. And we want them to have this foundation so it's set in stone in them. So as they go into life, they grow and they're going to face challenges. They're always going to put their faith in God and rely on Him. And He will help them and assist them and all He's created them for. It's exciting. It is exciting. All right. Well, we're gonna look at these principles and how important they are. I tell you, this is something I really believe is why people don't. Why people fall away from the faith and go from church to church, because when you get these principles in you, it just, and you're, you know, I remember I read the book Hiding Place from about Corrie Ten Boom, and she was in the Holocaust and all that, and we really went through a lot. Something she said, bloom where you're planted. And I really, that was in me when I came to this church. So if I knew what all I've had to go through and all I've gone through in the past 26 years, I probably would have ran the other way. But there's something to blooming where you planted and you're willing to stay in the faith. Because, folks, God is so good. I'm more excited today than I've ever been. And, you know, that's just how it is. When you stay in it, you go through things. God takes you places and shows you things. And I'm 70 years old. Boy, oh, boy. But anyways, we're going to talk about these principles, repentance of dead works. But we've been on that, and we're talking today about faith towards God. And when these principles are in you, the foundation, you know, it's just so important because they work for you. But here's what happens. People go to church, get saved, baptized, and these don't ever become a part of them. They don't stay in the church long enough to let them. Or maybe they're not being taught this. You need to make sure you're in a church that's teaching the Bible and the Word of God. And this is what really the church is all about. This is what He's building His church, and it's built on this foundation, these principles. So now we're going to look at faith towards God today. And repentance, remember what the word repentance means? Well, let's go to our vision. Who we got there? Christina? Let's do the vision, and then we're going to go to Hebrews 6, 1. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All right. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So here it is. Did you hear that? Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. It ought to be established in you. You see that? When it's established in you, it works. I mean, I've seen people come to this church and that's not working. It doesn't work. I tried that a month ago. A month ago? Sometimes things take time and patience. It takes time and patience, and you got to grow and mature in the things of God. Because that's why we have trials and tests. We're going to go through things. You're going to be tested and tried to see if what you say is true. All right. So we're looking at faith towards God today. This word faith is the Greek word pistis. And so it also means to resolve. To resolve. And the word resolve is to come to a definite decision or conclusion about something. And it says, resolve says, I know God will keep his word. I don't know how, when, or where he will do it. But one thing I do know, he will do it. He will keep his word. That's what faith is. You see that? And that's what we need. We need faith towards God, not anything else, but towards God. And that's what we're talking about today. The faith of many professed believers does not rise to this level. What about your faith? Is your faith rising? Is your faith growing? It's important that you stay anchored in the faith. Let's see. Why don't you go to Matthew 9:27. And I'm going to talk to you for a minute. True faith, faith also means persuaded. Persuaded. So Timothy, Paul was writing to Timothy, telling Timothy, he said, these things I have suffered in 2 Timothy chapter 1, these things I have suffered, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. That means the day of Christ, his return. I'm persuaded. That's faith. In other words, my faith is going to get me and protect me and guard, shield, and protect me. It's going to keep me until that day. And when you have this in you, it will guard, shield, and protect you till the day comes, the day of Christ in your life. It may be tonight for some of us, right? It may be 100 years from now. We never know when that's going to happen. But we want to stay in the faith and have it towards God, regardless of what's going on around us. Amen? So now, kingdom faith results in actions and good works. Kingdom faith produces good, not the other way around. Now, faith is to the kingdom like oxygen is to humans, like money is to the economy, like water is to fish. It's necessary. It's necessary. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. Without faith, the kingdom is not involved in your life. Without faith, the kingdom is not involved in your life. Am I making sense? There has to be faith because it's moved by. Without faith, you cannot do business with the government of the kingdom of God. You cannot do business with the government and the kingdom of God. The principle of the kingdom of faith is simple. You cannot appropriate what you don't believe. You cannot inspect what you don't expect. You cannot inspect what you don't expect. Just as you cannot live within the economy of your country without money, so you cannot live in the kingdom of God without faith as the currency. Without faith as the currency. Kingdom faith toward God gives us access to all the rights, privileges, and benefits of God's kingdom. Everything promised in this Constitution, the Bible, is yours. And you appropriate it, you access it by faith. Only by faith. Now, this is important. This is why it's so important to understand faith towards God and have that in us, because we're always going to be using our faith. This is what we're to live by. We're to live by faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. It says the just shall live by faith. We're to live by faith, right? We're to live by this. We ought to be persuaded. My God is able no matter what I'm going through. Now, let's look at this. Here we go. Matthew 9:27. Now, this is a parable of two blind men, but scholars that I've studied say this is about their vision. They're spiritually blind. You see that? So here's something I want us to understand. Let's watch this. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." So one thing about them, they had faith because they called him the Son of David. That meant in those days, he was the king, that the Son of David was the king from David. He was this descended from David. Are you with me? And that's what they acknowledged. He was the Son of David. Now, look, let's go to the next one. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." Now Jesus said, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" They said, "Yes, Lord." This word Lord means owner, master, ruler. So they knew he was the master. They knew he was the owner and the ruler. Did you catch that? That's what they believed because they called him Lord. Capital L. Did you hear me? And that's what you said when you believed who God was. You catching this? Now, but they're restoring their vision. Now, watch this. Now, give me verse 29. Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." Let it be to you. You see that? Jesus asked one simple question. Do you believe that I am able to do this? They said, "Yes, Lord." He didn't ask them a religious question. He didn't ask them, you know, what church they went to. He didn't ask them what they, you know, who their grandma was or who their grandpa was. Where did you come from? Right? He asked, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Essentially, Jesus asked them, "Can you pay the price? Can you pay the price to get your eyesight back?" Because they had it. Now they need to get it back. Are you with me? Their vision. See, that's why we talked about vision. Where there's no vision, the people cast off restraints. If you don't have a clear vision, you're not going to have the restraints necessary to keep you going God's way. You see this? And that's significant. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, it's the love of Christ that compels us. The word compels means restrains us. And just before that says, it's for you to have a sound mind. When you have a sound mind, you're in a healthy place because you have a vision that's compelled by the love of God. Did you get what I just said? Now the restraints are God's love is restraining you, and you see people the way God does. You see your situation the way God sees it because you're being restrained by the love of God, and your vision is clear. Oh, did you get that? All right. According to your faith. Now, remember, faith is the currency of the kingdom. These two blind men were seeking a kingdom benefit, wholeness, but they needed the right currency, faith. He restored their sight. They were translated into kingdom business with kingdom currency and got what they needed, got what they were after. I'm going to tell you something. That's really the way it works, folks. It is when you got that and you're believing and you don't give up on what you believe, it's going to show up. I remember this church was 12 people. I came here and I used to see people in the seats. It was empty. I'd come in here and pray. This place was empty. Now look around you. You see, when you have a vision, you start to see it. It starts to show up because you see it. Are you with me? If I didn't understand that vision on the wall, there's no way I could be here 26 years, going on 27. There's no way. I'd have given up. Are you with me? I'm just here to tell you, vision is powerful. It gets you, it wakes me up in the morning. When you have a vision and you need to see your marriage healthy and happy. You need to see your children following Christ. You need to see your finances coming into order. You need to see yourself having a healthy relationship. You need to see your boss the way God sees him and not the way you want to see him because you're mad at him all the time. You need to see him the way God does him. Begin to express love and kindness to him and pray for him. Amen. Are you with me?
Yeah.
This is huge. Now, according to your faith. Now, this is huge. Let's look at how this blind man addressed Jesus. They called him Son of David. We talked about that. Acknowledging that Jesus was the king because he was described as the king, the Son of David. Now think about this. And he was the Messiah. He was the Messiah. Because when they acknowledged him as the Son of David, that meant he was the Messiah and the deliverer that was come. And they were speaking that to him. Now, they were believers. The blind man also called Jesus Lord. We talked about that. Now, some people come to God to get what they want, to get things they want. But they don't want God. They don't want God to own them. He's owner. He owns you. If you don't want him to own you, that's gonna trickle into your faith. And it's gonna cause it not to work in a healthy way. Some people don't want God to be involved in their life, in their relationships. Well, you know, I'm living with them, but we're not ready to get married. We've got to save some more money. You see that? There's no faith in that. Am I making sense? Come on, am I making sense? And now if you're doing that, don't let me beat you up because I'm not. But I'm just trying to show you. It takes faith. We got to get in here and see it the way God sees it. That's what it's all about. You know, well, now wait a minute now. I don't want you to get involved. You know, I got this, you know, group. I've been meeting with this group for 30 years. You know, we got to knock back a few on Fridays. We want to go have a couple, you know. Come on, man. You got to let your hair. I don't do this. I don't do that. I just want to do this. I want to be able to go have me a cold one, relax, and, you know, take the edge off. You know, you don't want to take it off. You don't need no edge off when you got the Holy Spirit coming in you. Are you listening to me? You got true joy. You got true peace in you because the kingdom is involved in your life.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
But when you got to be involved in something else that you got to put in your body to relax and take the edge off, that's you trying to do it. You're battling something that God's not going to be involved in. Did you hear what I just said? That's what happens. And then you get in that battle, and then it starts to affect every other area of your life. God wants all of us. Every bit of us. But God says, wait a minute. Who do you think I am? Boy, that's a big question, isn't it? That's a critical question. Look at your neighbor and say, who do you think God is? Here's what happens. People think he's some celestial Santa Claus. You know? I'm gonna start going to church and I'm gonna get what I want. I remember when I first got saved, and man, I thought, and all these problems started coming. I thought it was gonna get better. I thought it gets worse and worse. Are you with me? But you see, that's the way it can be. Sometimes it does get worse. But really, when you listen to him and you're willing to be corrected, is correction on the other side of the correction is joy and fulfillment in life. Right? Because that's what correction does. When we're willing to listen and be corrected, and then on the other side of correction is fulfillment. If you stay on that side where you don't want to be corrected, you know, I was talking to a couple weeks ago, used to come here going through a lot. Started crying. I tried to help them. And I'd show up at their house at all different times and trying to help them. They said, well, we're both just stubborn. You know what stubbornness comes from? Oxen. When they're stubborn, they didn't want to do the work. And so they stiff-necked. In the Old Testament, they call it stiff-neck. They'd stiffen their necks so they couldn't put the yoke around their neck because they didn't want to do the work. See, we've been created for good works. And when you get rid of your stubbornness and you start submitting to God, woohoo! Life begins to take on a whole new meaning. Joy and passion, energy, because you're willing to do the work. Am I making sense? It's not, the works don't save you. When you're saved, you will do the work.
Right.
Am I making sense? That stubborn, and then their family's all messed up, and then this one doesn't want, their kids don't, they're stubborn too. Wonder why. Why your kids are, well, they don't ever, they're so rebellious, and they, well, okay. I'm sitting there listening. You know, you got, as a pastor, you got to watch what you say. Everybody's so hyper today, you know. We just got to watch it. Because, you know, they're so sensitive. Am I making sense, guys? Because I'm telling you, when you'll listen to him, I've been stubborn too. I have been. And I'll tell you what, he kicked my buttski a few times. Not that he didn't kick my buttski. He just let me have what I wanted, I thought I wanted. And then when you get what you think you wanted, you don't want what you got. And that's the way that works. All right. Now watch. God is either king and Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all, right? He's sovereign, he's Lord, he's creator, he's owner. Give me Mark 11:24 real quick. Now, this verse has really been taken way out of context. Whole movements have come from this verse. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Boy, oh boy. Did you catch that? I want me a new Corvette, you know? Well, it didn't work. I prayed for it. This wife don't want to do what I want her to do. I want me another wife. Okay. Well, that's really going to work, isn't it? You'd be surprised. But so now think about this. This is what this is saying. And then he says, you know, you can move mountains, right? Goes on to talk about that. Christina, can you give me the next verse? We didn't do that last time, but I'm thinking I want to show you this. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. All right. Then he goes on to talk about the mountain. You know, you can move the mountain. You see that, the faith that moves mountains. You know, what's a mountain? A mountain is something that's getting in your way that you think's impassable. You know, and maybe it's in your career. There's a mountain in front of your career. Maybe there's a mountain in front of your finances. Well, God can remove those mountains. Are you with me? By faith, he can remove those mountains. Maybe it's a mountain with your children. You can't connect with them. God wants to remove that. He's going to give you wisdom to connect with them so they will listen to you and be relational with you. You see that? I love that with my kids. You know, even all I've been through, they still call me. You know, my son's 47. He called me and just took a new position. He said, before I make this decision, I need to call you. He's out in the woods walking. He goes, I remember you used to walk, and I'd be on your shoulders, and you'd talk to me, and we'd be walking through the woods. He goes, I go to the woods. I smell everything. I think about you. So he's calling me out in the woods. He's on a walk. He's going to climb some mountain in Africa. What's that big, the highest one? Yeah, Kilimanjaro. That's right. He's going to climb that mountain, so he's out. He's doing exercises and stuff because he's going to go out there. But anyways, it blessed me that he called me like that. And I was somewhere. I was at a family reunion with her mom and all these people. I got up from there, and I went out, and I was talking to my son. I didn't care who was. That was important. You see, when your kids know that you have faith and you believe what you believe, they're going to call you up. They're going to be in touch with you when they need help. Huh? Give me John 14, 13. And whenever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We have to ask in his name. And the word name is in reference to character. Character and according to his will. To his will. Give me 1 John 5:14. According to his will. You see, we should be out to do the will of God, right? Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. You see, God wants us in accordance to his will and in line with his will. Because when we're in line with his will, now we're changing. We're lining up. Now he can trust you with what? It's okay to have a new Corvette. I remember my dad let me get a CUDA back in high school. I had no business with that CUDA. I got in so much trouble, I wasn't mature enough to have that CUDA. Well, that's the same thing. If I'd have been more, my dad even told the salesman at Salem Chrysler, oh, he can handle it. He works full time. He's just a responsible young man. And that guy said, well, this car's too much for this young boy. But he goes, well, we'll do it, you know. And I got in trouble with that thing. I had 17 tickets. Got my license taken away. Used to drive around. I thought I was big stuff in that car. Krager mags on there. I thought I was a bad mamma jamma. But I was just immature. But that's the way you are when you get what you want. Without any type of growth and development. If I had that today, I'd take it easy. I might get me one of them. Who knows? I'll go to the bank and look in the windows. You guys got to keep laughing because I'm getting ready to drop something here. No. Now think about this. Faith is so important. Jesus asked the two blind men, do you believe that I am able to do this? How badly do you want it?
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.